Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good evening, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. This is Green Ideas, and it's, as the man says, this is the Green Ideas Radio Show, and we're here for another Sunday night, and literally we are running like we're in a race to get to the show. We were cooking on the hot box grill, and I just pulled the pork shoulder off, and we just ate ribs, and Laurie was just washing dishes, and Laurie hasn't even got on the show yet because she's, Laurie, hurry up. Hey, Brian, what are you doing? Brian's back, everybody.
I'm back. Have a food and beer bill for you.
Well, I don't know if you know, but I hope you didn't use that credit card I gave you because everything probably bounced.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about any credit card. They only take cash in Europe.
Oh, right. That's right. They do, don't they? By the way, speaking of Europe, by the way, everybody, Brian's been gone for how long were you gone? 2.5 weeks?
In Europe, 15 nights, 15 days, but traveling and all that, you know, 17 days.
Yeah, we didn't really miss you, but we...
I know you didn't, so...
But if you weren't aware, Brian was over in Europe, and he was posting like a madman on his Facebook page. I have to say, Brian, I was cracking up with all the postings you were doing, and I was like, I was at your freaking house watching your European vacation slideshow. But it was very interesting. I hate to admit it, but you kept us all posted between your street food and your beer. Talking about beer, my God, how many gallons of beer did you actually drink over there?
Only a liter a day, a half liter at lunch, and a half liter at dinner.
Well, that's not so bad. The way you were posting, it looked like you were having beer on the hour after the hour. It was just like nonstop beer. It was like the Brian Beer Fest, but it looked like you had a lot of fun. Did you have fun?
It was a great, great trip. And I don't know, is Laurie there yet? Do we have
Laurie?
Hold
on a second. I think she's calling in. I mean, literally, we're just running here like crazy trying to get online here. Laurie, are you there?
Oh, out of breath. I'm here. And welcome back, Brian. We missed you so much.
I was about to say that it's the kind of trip that you both should take. I mean, just to experience different culture and Brilliant, trust me, All your comforts are there. They have McDonald's, they have Burger King, they have KFC, they have Subways. I even saw a Pizza Hut somewhere. I think it was in one of the train stations. So it's all there. And then they have their own like little, you know, burger chains. So you'd be happier than a pig in, you know what?
I know. I was actually amazed how, I guess you would call it, Americanized they were. Everywhere you were going, you were seeing, like, McDonald's. And did you see Starbucks over there, too? I don't know if you – was there Starbucks?
Yeah, there's Starbucks. You know, what was interesting is that there were – I think in a couple of the cities we were in Germany, there was this you know, town. It was Berlin. And they had, like, Berlin Coffee or something, Coffee Berlin. And the logo looked similar. It was like a circle, you know, circular thing. And the logo looked similar to Starbucks. I think that people kind of weren't as obsessed with Starbucks as the novelty of, you know, like McDonald's and Burger King. And I'll tell you, take some pictures for you of, you know, pricing signs and stuff. And at least the pictures, the burgers look good. And the prices, I couldn't believe it was like $3.99 in euro, which is about foreign change with the exchange right now. For a meal with, you know, a large drink and a large fries.
Well, you couldn't have picked a better time to go to Europe because the euro right now, I think, is like, what, $1.11, something like that.
The euro was
like $1.40, $1.50. So, yeah, you went at a great time, especially to go over there to buy burgers. And before we go on, because I'm going to turn the show over to you and let you kind of just give a rundown of what happened. There are a few quick food news stories that I'd like to share with the listening public, and then I'm going to turn the last half hour over to you. First of all, the big news.
Well, I was hoping that you had food news, because I know you're going to be bored after 5 minutes, so we need something to fill
the air. I'm bored with you all the time, so yeah, you're right. So anyway, we just finished on the Hot Box Grill, and you know, Brian, I can't wait for you to test this out. This is an amazing grill. Literally, you light it, you put the lid on it, and you walk away. I was doing other things, came back, it was like at 300 degrees. I threw on the pork shoulder, the ribs, the potatoes, and the green beans, and I can't say enough of good things about the Hot Box Grill, because, you know, I'm big on just simplicity, because I'm a simple man, but it's very... It's a very unique grill, and for those who haven't seen it, go to hotboxgrills.com. You can see what we're talking about. It's great for tailgating. It's great for going to the beach. It's great for doing it on your driveway like we do right there as our neighbors go by and wave at us as the smoke is pouring out of the Hot Box Grill. And, I'll let Laurie speak for the cooking. Laurie, how were the ribs?
Oh, well, first of all, I do want to say, like, you cannot say enough about this grill. We sit back. Right, he lights his cigar. We've got our wine. We sit on the front step here of our property with the water, and neighbors go by, and they must think we are the cat's meow. They wave to us. The Hot Box is smoking on his truck. The sun is setting, and it's hysterical because it smells so good. And you're right. You cannot say enough. Like, I love this thing. It's so simple. I love how it cooks. It's so even. And, well, the way everything comes out, it's just delicious.
Well, I have to,
I
hate to admit it, but I will say that your food doesn't look black anymore like it used to be on that other product that
you know what?
That
you're
you used to
right.
use.
You're right.
right.
And now
so
I have to admit, tonight I was in a hurry, and I did burn the bottom of the ribs because I was trying to hurry up before the show, but you're right. It cooks evenly, and setting the temperature, and this sounds like an ad for Hot Box Grill. It kind of is. The setting the temperature, it's so cool. They got four little dampers that you set, and literally when you get it in sync, when you learn how to do it, and it doesn't take a lot to learn because even I figured it out, you can keep it at between 250, 300, 300, 350, and it smokes away. And I can't say enough.
And you have a ham on there. We have a ham. I was talking on the phone here for the hour, and after we're done, we're going to have a little bit of ham to taste, and we'll have it for tomorrow night. But you're right. It stays so hot, you're like, I'm going to leave the ham cooking while we're on the air. And then after we're done, we'll have a little bit of ham. We'll do a little bit of picky pick. I'm like, oh, my God, this is heaven.
Oh, it's amazing.
Well, I'm waiting for my invitation.
Well, your invitation's coming whenever we can decide when we can let you over across the bridge to come see us. Yeah, it takes a lot of diplomatic measures to get you over here. So
I figured that out for the many years that I've known you.
All right,
it's a very diplomatic process.
Yes, it is. So everybody check out hotboxgrills.com. Dave Benjamin was on our show last week filling in for Brian. Great guy, and he's got a great product. Mm-hmm. He's making some changes to the hotbox grill, making it with a table that comes along with it. And I'm telling you, the way it is fantastic. So check it out. And it's he's got a deal going on now. You can get a great deal on the hotbox grill. Plus, he's got I call it a layaway plan. He calls it a payment plan, but he's got a layaway plan that if you don't have the money, you can pay it in 5 easy payments. So anyway, check it out. Now go over food news. The food news, Jersey style girl. She doesn't do her homework. I did it this time. So here's real quick. I have cool stories. I want to go run through them in 5 minutes. And if you got anything to say, Laurie or Brian, jump in. But this woman tried to buy a home for her son. And this was in Oregon. I don't know if you heard this story, but there's a bidding war, and the real estate market has completely turned around. Now there's multiple bids coming in on lots of properties throughout the country. And what this woman did was she's trying to help her son buy this home. She offered sellers not only 2 free months' rent, and what I mean by that, she was going to pay their rent if they moved out, which was and she offered $26,000 over the asking price, but she also threw in a pizza a month for life. And she ended up winning the bid because she offered the pizza per month for life, and she owns a pizza parlor there in Oregon, which I thought was kind of cool that she came up with this idea. So she won the bidding because she offered the people a pizza for life, and we're talking not just a cheese pizza. They could get anything they want on it every month for life. And they calculated here in this article, the scan down here, based on the average cost of her pizza, if the people lived 40 more years, she'd be giving away an extra $10 on the home. So obviously the people took the deal, and they got pizza for life, and her son got a house, and I thought that was a cool story.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question. It sounds like you bought this house. I mean, it just sounds like something you would do and take the pizza.
Well, it is a cool idea. I mean, if you're in a
business, really
come up with something
creative.
Tell people you'll barbecue for them once a month for life or whatever. I mean, it's crazy, but the real estate market in some areas is really taking off. So anyway, cool story. Here's another story. I think this is funny. We got to be careful what we say, by the way. KFC sues a China firm because this China firm was going around telling everybody that because of GMOs, their chickens had 8 legs. So they
and
were
we heard
around.
This one in Europe, actually. We
Did
heard
really?
This story in Europe. Yeah.
Get out.
No kidding.
Yeah, we heard this about the whole thing with KFC and the Chinese chickens having 8 legs and wings. And, yeah, we heard the whole thing. I was cracking up.
But, you know, believe it or not, people are actually believing these stories online. So KFC said, screw you, we're going to sue you for doing this. And they're getting $242,000 and an apology from each of the 3 companies that operated accounts on a popular mobile phone app called WeChat. And they're seeking immediate stop of the infringements. And the story goes on to say, basically, I guess they've got them to stop saying that. And the whole point of the story is you got to be careful what you say about companies. I should probably take this to heart. But you got to be careful what you say about companies online, because now a lot of these big companies are cracking down on the rumors that are floating around the internet. And by the way, if you're listening, you might want to take heed to this story with all her crap. I won't go there, Brian. I decided I'm not going to talk about her as much as I have in the past, but I could talk.
I know. I'm over you complaining about the food, Dave.
I know. All right, here's another one I found very interesting, and we're almost out of time. Okay, the Israeli military, this is really cool. I don't know if you heard this story or not, but basically this Israeli soldier, let's see here, it's coming up. Israeli frees pork-eating soldier. Have you heard this story, Brian?
No.
Well, I didn't know this, but I guess it's against their rules in the Israeli army for any soldier to eat pork, and which I guess that's because of religious reasons. But this particular soldier, my computer is jamming up, of course, he ate pork. Well, here's the rule. It says, by violating the military's kosher rules by eating a pork sandwich while in uniform, he got court-martialed for doing that and actually had an 11-day prison sentence for eating a pork sandwich while in uniform. And the military changed this decision yet later on and canceled his punishment and said that it wasn't, you know, they were following the rules, but then after they thought about it, it was a kind of a crazy rule to send this guy to prison for eating a pork sandwich. So I had never heard that before, but I guess it kind of makes sense. And since you are of, I guess, are you Israeli descent, Brian, speaking of that?
You've been breaking up a little bit.
Well,
ask me the last thing.
I said, are you of
breaking up?
Are you of Israeli descent?
No, but I do have a comment to this.
Yeah.
You know, there are factions in Israel that would want to control Israel as a Jewish state. Just like, you know, there are people in this country that would like to control the United States as a Christian state. But I guarantee you that there are probably Christians that are native Israelis that are in the Israeli army, and they don't live by the same laws as the Jewish people do. Not to mention the fact that probably a lot of Israelis don't keep kosher. So why enforce a law like that and deny someone the right to eat something if they don't believe in the law?
Law. The way my brain thinks, I wonder, was did he eat like a McRib from McDonald's? Because that's even worse if that's what he did. Because it said a pork sandwich, but it didn't say from where and how he ate it.
Well, we don't even know if that's pork.
This is true. Anyway, that's kind of the update of stories. I had another one here, but my computer's not cooperating. So, Brian, where do you want to start? You went to Europe. And all your posts on Facebook cracked me up. I felt like I was watching, like I said, a slideshow, and all I was looking for was the what's the people's name? The European Vacation, the Griswolds to show up.
But you know, first of all, you know how many of those posts were directed at you, or I took pictures expressly for you. You know,
yes.
You know, knowing that you expected me to seek out this dark side in Europe,
yes.
And of course we know that the dark side is there. I chose to embrace the street food as a dark side, but I wanted to say something about McDonald's. Remember we reported about the whole thing, McDonald's doing the kale and how much nonsense it is.
Right.
Well, we were on public transportation in Vienna. I don't remember if it was a tram or a train that we were taking somewhere, and we get into the, you know, we get on and we sit down, and someone had left a little, you know, kind of like a tabloid newspaper. And my wife, she can speak German and reads it very well. So she's reading the paper and she's like, "Oh, didn't you guys talk about this on the show?" I said, she's reading an article about the very same thing about McDonald's, you know, going to the, you know, offering the kale and canceling, you know, different foods and everything. So it's obviously everywhere. But you know what? We reported it first. We were there way ahead of the Europeans.
Exactly.
Our
journalistic prowess. We are way ahead of everybody when it comes to food news.
Yes, but you know, this was partly a desperate need for a vacation and to celebrate my wife's and my 25-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
God help me. God help me for another 25 or more. but I'm very confident. And it was, you know, we just put this thing together ourselves. We had no intention on booking anything specific once we were in a city until we got there, or before we got to a city. So we, you know, we made our plans as we went along. And, you know, I love Europe, and these are places that we haven't been, or at least I haven't been ever. My trip to Austria last year was a whirlwind 4-day, you know, visiting 12 wineries. So I really didn't see much. So, you know, having 3 days in Vienna gave me the opportunity to see things. And booking, you know, booking stuff as we went along gave us opportunities to do things that we didn't even think that we were going to do. Like in Vienna, we booked a day trip to Slovakia and went to Bratislava, which is only an hour from Vienna. Vienna is very close to the Slovakian border and also the Hungarian border. So Bratislava is only an hour away. And here we were able to add another country and another city to our, you know, our journey. And that was fantastic. We took a bus out, and then we came back to Vienna on the river, on the Danube, which was just, you know, just fantastic. But, yeah, I mean, the food thing, I was really into. Yeah, I'm the wine czar, but I think everybody knows that I'm a big beer guy also. And the opportunity to drink the best beer that you can find in the world is Eastern Europe. So why not take that opportunity? And so, yeah, I drank a liter of beer a day just about. And I got bugged from a few wine friends about, why aren't you drinking any wine? And I'm like, well, because I'm detoxing from wine.
Well, let me ask you, beer. Well, with all those beers you drank, did you have a favorite?
Well, they're, for the most part, similar styles. I drank Pilsners, I drank lagers, I drank black lagers, and I drank Hefeweizen, you know, which is a wheat beer. And I love all the styles, but the thing about, you know, Austria and Slovakia, Czech Republic, Germany, is they all operate kind of under the same principle, which is what we call the purity law. They use basically 4 or 5 ingredients, and that's it. They don't put spices in. They don't put fruit in. They don't put all kinds of other stuff like the Belgians would do and what you see in a lot of the craft breweries here in this country. It's all about those basic ingredients and what you do with them, how you toast the hops to, you know, to change things or toast your barrels or whatever. So the beers are really incredibly clean. And that's what I love about, you know, German beers or German-style beers, or especially the Czech, you know where Budweiser came from the Czech Republic. In fact, I don't know if I posted it, the picture of the Budweiser sign, but, you know, so, you know, we get our beer, what we know about beer from Europe and especially Eastern Europe.
Now, I have another question. Are the beers over in Europe higher alcohol content than they are in the U.S.?
Not necessarily. You know, you see some 5s and 6s, but in that part of Europe, again, they're not looking to put a lot of additives that would cause longer fermentation. It's just about clean style. So average beer, I would say, you know, would be in the 5 to 6, you know, percent range.
That surprised me. I thought they would have had higher alcohol content than that. But now they drink, I guess I watch too much TV, but I get the impression that beer is sort of like a standard, like people drink beer for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Do they drink a lot of beer over there?
Well, a beer is a standard, and beer is cheaper in general than
water.
Really? I drank tap water. You know, we're cheap. You know, we buy a bottle of water and then we keep filling it up from the tap, you know, in the hotel room and put it in the mini bar and, you know, and cool it and take it with us the next day. The tap water in all the cities that we were in was perfectly fine. In fact, it was really, you know, good tasting water. But, you know, most people will drink bottled water. You go to a restaurant, you get a little, you know, 3 centiliter bottle of, you know, of sparkling water, and it costs you the same or maybe sometimes more than a half liter of beer.
Wow.
Costs. You know, beer is cheap. Now, in Austria and in Germany, we were paying about $4. Oh, not we. My wife wasn't drinking beer. I was paying about $4 a beer.
That's
in the
cheap.
Czech Republic and Slovakia,
yeah,
it was more like $2. And we're talking about half liters.
No kidding.
So that's 16.9 ounces.
Wow.
You know,
that's
happy
really,
hour,
really
you can
cheap.
Go and get a Budweiser for $4 in a restaurant.
Right. Very interesting. Now, I have to ask you on the food side, on the very first second day you were there, you show a picture of you shoving something into your mouth. I don't know what that was, but it was
Fantastic. Yeah.
What was that?
That was in Vienna. And that was like a sausage, like a wurst. And what they do is they, in fact, all right, let me report on street food and give you an overall. There's lots of different street food. And the funny thing is that they're like noodle, like Asian, like little kiosks, and they call them noodle boxes, and you can get a box of noodles. And people walk around, you know, on the streets with, you know, with chopsticks and eat, and, you know, and eat noodles. And then they have other, you know, other kinds of things. But the classic one are these little verse stands, and you can buy a different, you know, they have like maybe 4 or 5 different styles of verse. And they're long. I would say they're probably about 10 inches long. And the bun, the roll that they put them in, is fairly long as well. But what they do is they ask you if you want mustard or ketchup. And I don't know why anybody would want ketchup in, you know, in Austria or Germany or Czech Republic. You know, that's got to be for the tourists. You know,
were there
so
a lot
I said
of
mustard.
I don't mean to interrupt, but were there a lot of... Did you find a lot of tourists
it was,
when it
It was actually very crowded. And, you know, we didn't go to a lot of museums. We went to a lot of museums, but we didn't try to get to a million museums because the ones we went to were crowded. And, you know, it's like you feel like you're being herded in like cattle and herded out. You can't take your time. And we like to take our time with that stuff. But getting back to the so there were more tourists than I thought at the time of year that, you know, we were there. What they do with this bun that they have, this roll, is they hollow out, they bore out the middle of it, and they ask you what you want, mustard or ketchup, and of course I wanted mustard. Then he squirts the mustard inside the hole and then puts the wurst in the hole.
Really?
And then you just walk around the streets and eat it, you know? And basically because he's put this mustard inside the hole, you know, once you get to the bread, you practically get mustard in every bite.
Well, I was laughing because the picture the thing looked like it was like half the size of a horse's leg when you were eating it, and I was wondering what was in there. So they actually, it's like a jelly-filled donut. They actually squirt the mustard inside, and then they shove the wurst inside?
Yeah, inside the hole that they created in the, you know, in the bread.
Interesting.
Look, in the Czech Republic, we got this giant kielbasa for like $4, and all they gave us was like 2 little pieces of sliced bread. You know, that they had it in between. So every place was different. The funniest one was in Berlin. I know I posted a picture of the Grill Runners because you know, it was like they're called Grill Runners, and I think I even posted it to you and said, I found you a new job.
Yes.
they had this whole apparatus hanging over their shoulders, which included a backpack with a propane tank, and they basically had the grill hanging from their shoulders, and they were making these hot dogs or wurst or whatever you want to call them from, you know, with this thing hanging over their shoulders. And all I could think of was the old days, you know, like if you went to a football game and it was cold and there was a guy that walked around with a giant tank that was
right.
heated that had hot
right.
chocolate, you know, and then he had like a dispensing, you know, spout. But, you know, when we went to ball games when I was young, they had, you know, my wife calls them dirty water dogs. You know, they had the
yeah.
you know, the thing, and they were basically cooking in the water. But I'd never seen anything where they were actually cooking on a grill that was hanging from their shoulders.
Well, now, was this grill,
I started
was it,
to crack
I
up.
Ask, was it charcoal or gas, or could you tell?
No. It was a griddle. It was a flat grill. It was a flat griddle.
Oh, okay.
You know, that was
okay.
that was gas heated, you know, from underneath. But, I mean, the whole thing, and they had the umbrellas, of course, so in case it rained, they could stay dry and continue to sell hot dogs.
By the way, let me interrupt you for a second. People, if you haven't seen some of the photos that Brian posted, it was nonstop, by the way, Brian, but he's got photos of this and other things of the food he was eating and some very interesting photos. And by the way, I just want to commend you. We all felt like we were on the trip with you. It was
I mean, it was wonderful what you did.
It was very
kind
wonderful.
Of
I mean,
you.
I kid a lot about all your posts, but you did a wonderful job with the way that you presented the whole travel
mm-hmm.
and what you were doing and all the foods that were there. But if you go to Brian Fairchild on his Facebook page, you can see a lot of the photos and things he's talking about. And the grill thing he's speaking of, he's got a photo there of the guy standing on the street doing that. And I have to ask you, too, there was a weird-looking, I don't know what it was. Was it a dessert? It looked like it had, like, sugar on it. It almost like a pretzel, but it was like a big hunk of dough. What the heck was that?
Oh, that was in Prague. That, I can't remember. I know I have a description of it on my picture, and I'd have to, I'll have to scroll down and find it somewhere.
What was that thing? It looked like a giant
that was
pretzel
in Prague. That was street food
okay.
in Prague. Okay, it's basically yeast dough that they roll out and sort of make into like a long, you know, sort of, I don't know, string or whatever. But they roll it out and then they spiral it onto basically a roller that rolls over a little charcoal pit. And they actually move the rollers pretty fast so that the bread, this dough doesn't ever char. So it's moving quickly over this heat. And
what did it taste like? Was it good?
And then when it's finished, they roll it in cinnamon sugar. It was kind of like a churro, you know. Have you had churros?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Okay, it was kind of like that, but it wasn't fried. Churros would be fried. And it was definitely, you know, yeasty, like it was kind of like bread dough. So the dough itself wasn't sweet. What made it sweet was the cinnamon sugar that they put on the outside. But like everything else, you know, you try it once, I had it, I didn't feel I needed to go back and have another one, you know. But,
so,
but you know, all the street food was so cool. One thing I never got a chance to take a picture of for you was also in Prague. They had these whole ham hocks on skewers, and they were rotating, you know, like a rotisserie. They were rotating over fairly high over a charcoal, you know, over charcoal heat. And it was the same thing in the Czech Republic. In Prague, we were dealing with the krona. So it was like 25 krona to the dollar. So 100 krona for this plate of meat, $4. But what they did was they just took a knife and carved ham right off the hock and put it on your plate. And the plate was huge.
Interesting.
I didn't get a chance to try it because the town square was so crowded with people. And a lot of locals, you know, they come out and have lunch out on the street, you know, people that live there. And, you know, you have little standing tables in front of all of these food kiosks, you know. But, you know, we're tourists, and how am I going to start pushing the other people out of the way? So we got something that was a little bit more convenient that we could hold. So we never got to try the, you know, the ham off the hock. But it looked incredibly good and just so cheap. Yeah, so street food,
well,
we got
about 3 minutes, and I know you saw tons of things, and you saw chapels, and you saw composers and music guys. What was your favorite part about the whole trip?
It was Prague. It had to have been Prague, just in general. Prague, for me, was like being in Disneyland. You know, you start looking at all of these old buildings, and you get to the river, and you see the palaces and the big church up on the hill, and it just doesn't feel like you're in a real place. And so it was just really incredible. I mean, there were so many highlights, but if I could pick one place that, you know, I definitely want to go back and explore more of it, it has to be Prague. It's incredibly beautiful. We did a dinner cruise on the river. That their river is called the Moldau. There's a very famous piece written about that by a composer. And it was just, you know, it was just a beautiful, incredibly beautiful city and a really interesting culture that I'd like to explore more of.
Interesting. Well, the whole trip was well documented. And like I said before, go to Brian's Facebook page. You can see all his photos, and he had little stories that went along with it. It was excellent the way you did. I was actually surprised of how you were like the roving reporter from food to culture to you name it. It's on his page, and it was well done. And thank you for sharing all that with us. And anybody who wants to find out more, you can go to Brian's Facebook page. A couple of the quick things I'm wanting to mention here before we go. First of all, there's another news story just happened. I mean, just came across the wire as I was sitting here that I got to tell. Depending on your point of view, Taco Bell, latest creation, is either culinary atrocity or genius. It is the Captain Crunch Delight, which today describes as sweet little donut holes filled with creamy milk icing and embroiled in delicious layer of Captain Crunch. So check that out. That's brand new, hot off the press that we just found out about. But check that out at Taco Bell. And here's something, Laurie, about Taco Bell that you're not going to like. All these big restaurants now are going into the trend of pledging to reduce or ban artificial ingredients. Well, guess what, Laurie? Because of that, listen to this. This is going to break your heart. Because Taco Bell has decided to do this, there will no longer be, you wait, no more co-branded menu items like Doritos Loco Tacos, because all the Dorito product line doesn't meet the new standard at Taco Bell. So, you know, those 12 packs that we go to Taco Bell and get occasionally, we're not going to be able to get those anymore. And by the way, that new dessert actually won't be available till July the 2nd, which makes no sense. How in the world can Captain Crunch be all natural anyway? That's what I want to know. But anyway, July 2nd, you can get those little donut holes with Captain Crunch. And Brian, real quick question, too. This is a news item. Who is the number one organic grocer in America? What's your guess?
The number one organic grocer in America?
Yeah.
I don't know. Whole Foods?
Whole Foods.
Believe it or not, Costco. Costco is now the number one organic grocer. Yep. They beat out Whole Foods in sales on an organic item. I thought that was something interesting to report. And last but not least, Laurie, do you want to talk about real quick about My Happy Books?
I do, but you know, it's funny. I'm drinking lemon water and it went down the wrong pipe, so I'm trying to – I'm coughing
yeah, we heard you
the hallway.
Call.
I'm
yeah,
choking. It went down the wrong pipe, but anyway, I feel better. Thank you. I'm going to live. Yes, I'm so excited. Dixie Still is burning my CDs pretty much as we speak. They're going to be sent over to the printer. My books are printed. They're going to insert all the CDs, the read-along with the bonus song on it. And I am so excited. I'm going to have six of them ready. And I would think within, what do you think, by like definitely August, sometime just before Labor Day, perfect timing for the holidays. And I'm going to be out there promoting them, doing my book launching in New Jersey and here in Maryland. And I am on my way. So
yes, she finally
yay!
Got her way. MyHappyBooks.com. You can find her books. They'll be for sale here shortly with the CD and the read-along and the song. And we'll play the song as we close out the show today, I Want to Be Happy, which she recorded with Dixie Still. And speaking of Dixie Still, real quick, too, guys out, Dixie Still has a chance to go to Nashville and to a big event, and they're going to be playing in front of large crowds. And people in the music business, as you know, Brian, it's tough, and it's tough to make a living, and they've got a, FundMe. Project
mm-hmm.
where they're trying to raise money to go to.
I think it's
Nashville.
Something to do with the CMAs, right?
Yeah, it's part of the whole CMA deal in Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be in front of a lot of like shakers and movers, and they're trying to raise $1,000 just to pay for the band to go and pay for their hotels and food and travel expenses because it's been tough for them. They are a fantastic, fantastic group, country music. And if you haven't heard Dixie Still, go to DixieStill.com, and you can find them on
mm-hmm.
Facebook and listen to their music and support them. Every dollar
they
counts.
Great.
They have 10,000 followers on their
fans.
Page. You know,
mm-hmm.
if everybody gave 50 cents, they get five times the amount of money that they need to go to do this thing for the CMA. So anyway, check that out. We're almost out of time. We got 3 minutes left, and like I always ask at the end of the show, Brian, is there anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
I just wanted to add that you do realize that Brilliant Ideas Radio was trending in Europe and represented very well by me. My
yes.
T-shirt
Thank
was
you.
Prominent and got lots
Aww.
Of looks.
Aww.
So,
well, you know, it's actually, it's funny, real quick, we did have a boost of listeners from over in Europe from some odd reason. Maybe it was you walking around with that shirt. I did see the numbers jump up.
There you go.
There you go. It went from like 5 to 6. It was a big bump.
Like I said, I've got a food and beer bill for you.
And Laurie,
I'll tell you, we're
anything?
So happy when you're back.
Yes. Yes. Laurie, do you have anything else you want to add?
Well, I'm just glad that Brian's back. You know, like a little piece of us was missing when he wasn't here, and he does bring, you know, so much to our show, and we missed you, and thank you for posting all that and taking us along. It was fantastic. And even if I never get out there, I feel like I was there because of you. So,
yes, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
But go for
and
real.
That,
go for real.
For that,
I'm telling
all
you.
That, for that,
it's an
for that
experience.
Happy note, we're going to have to close out Laurie's song, I Want to Be Happy with the Dixie Still. Everybody join us again Sunday. We'll see you then. Everyone have a nice week, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Bye-bye.
If this thing will work. This song won't work. Here we go.
But I won't be happy till I make you happy too. Life's really worth living when we are mirth giving. Why can't I give some to you? Really worth it. really worth living when we are mercy giving? Why can't I give some to you? When skies are gray and you